Still asking the question. There's a conversation. You see? This is a falsafa. You see? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows what is it, but He's still asking the question, what is in your right hand? So He says, قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ. Ya Allah, I have my stick, I have my staff in my right hand. So Hazrat makes ajeeb istinbat from here. He says, firstly, it's sunnah to hold the staff. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam used to hold the staff, you know, the stick. You see, now we got one here also. So the Imam uses it. That also is like, somebody looks for trouble, we can do lati charge also. So that's why we keep the asa. So nevertheless, he says, firstly, if you want to hold the asa, you must hold it. It's sunnah to hold the asa. And when you hold the asa, you must use your right hand to hold the asa. All the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they kept the asa. But you must remember, in today's times, this is an important point actually. When we adhere to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we must look at the mahol we're living in. Then we must adhere. Isa Noho, that now we take our asa and we walk into the big mall with our asa, and then somebody starts laughing at us because of that asa. Now our niyat is good. We are uplifting the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This I'm adding from my side. We are uplifting the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But one person mocks at the sunnat. Because he doesn't even realize that this is a sunnat. And then he mocks at it. What will happen to him? He will lose his iman. Your niyat was, you want to uplift the sunnah. And the result is that he lost his iman. That's why you must first look at the mahol first. Create mahol first. And then uplift the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The kafirs, well, we don't worry about the kuffar. But we're talking about the muslimin. People wear the lungi also. Now to wear the lungi is also sunnat. Now imagine if you wear the lungi and there's no mahol for lungi, people will laugh at you. So they're laughing at the sunnat. If they laugh at the sunnat, they're out of the fold of Islam. So we mustn't make amal on it in a manner when we know we're jeopardizing people's iman. We must do it in a way first the mahol is created. If you go to Malaysia, then everybody wears lungi. There is nobody going to laugh at you. Because every second man is wearing lungi and walking around everywhere. So because the mahol is created. If the mahol is created, then there's no issues there. Then you must make amal on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you must look at the mahol first before the implementation takes place. That's a very important point actually. Same thing, for example, sabah qirat that we recite in our masjids. Sabah qirat is one of the dialects in which the Quran has been revealed in 7 different dialects. Now you can't just read sabah qirat in any masjid. One old mota will tell you, bye. I've never heard people reading Quran like this before. Idha ja'a Nasrullah. We had one incident like that actually. One alim was reading Qirat-e Warsh, Sanad, in one of our masjids in Haring. So one uncle made a'tiraz there. Sanad. So he said that, I never heard this imam of Quran like this in my life. So he was very angry about the whole thing. Was very angry. He said, this is all wrong Quran that you are reading here. So that time he was very close to Mufti AK. So he decided on a phone Mufti AK on the radio to ask him. By mistake he dialed my number because he had my number also as Mufti Save, you see. So he dialed by mistake and he said, Mufti Saab, you must speak on the radio about this year. So how the people are reading Quran like this? So I told him, don't worry, I'll speak about it on the radio. You calm down, you cool down, it's all okay, it's under control. From this you can ascertain that if you want to implement certain actions, first create a mahol first. Once the mahol has been created, then it's fine. For example, in our Darul Uloom, there's no issues. Many of our imams here, they read Qirat-e Sabah, they read all the different dialects. You'll hear it here. So, what Najmi Ida Hawe, you'll hear Mufti Qari Sahab reading in the morning. So you will hear that here, because this is a place of learning. This is a seat of learning. We have to protect all the sciences of the Sharia. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? It will be lost. So therefore, it is incumbent. We do it, alhamdulillah. We make amal on that. So nevertheless, the point that I want to make here is, the Hazrat says that you must hold it on your right hand, and then he says that you get the big asa, and then you get the small one, your pen. That's the small asa. So your pen also, must you hold it on your left hand, or you must hold it on your right hand? He says you can make istinbat from this ayat, that the pen also you must hold it on your right hand. Because the asa you must hold on your right hand, that's also a staff, that's your pen. So when you're writing also, don't write with your left hand, you must write with your right hand, Hazrat said. so that you can make istinbat from this. So ajib ajib nuktas he takes out, and then he says that jab muhabbat bar gayi Allah se, ajib baat. He says now that muhabbat of Allah came in the heart of Musa alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat came in his heart. When the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala came in his heart, now the conversation, the question was there, the conversation was basically answered the question. But in the same topic, he hadn't changed the topic. But he wants to keep the conversation going with Allah Ta'ala out of the muhabbat of his heart. You see? So he says to Allah Ta'ala, you know, this asa, atawakkau alayha, ay Allah, I lean on it. Wa ahushu biha. So, and then I also, you see, so we're going with the goats, sometimes we need to eat, so then I have to break the leaves down, I use my asa to break the leaves. Oh, and for fiha ma'aribu ukhra, I got other benefits. Now Allah never asked him what you use it for. Allah just asked him what you have in your hand. Now he's giving Allah all the details. Because he wants the conversation to continue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Now he's giving him all that. Allahu Akbar. Then Allah Ta'ala, Hazrat says, that we can't say we love Allah, we have muhabbat for Allah Ta'ala, lekin ittiba'nahu, but we don't want to follow Allah's commands. How can we say we love Allah Ta'ala, but we don't follow the commands of Allah? Allah Ta'ala told him, throw the stick. Now he never questioned Allah, why are you asking me to throw the stick? What is the reason for throwing the stick? You know, Allah Ta'ala never asked him. He said, Allah Ta'ala throw the stick. So Hazrat says, Waha chuon chira kaise? How can you ask Allah why? What's the reason? What's the logic? What's the philosophy? What's the falsafa behind it? How can you ask Allah Ta'ala all those things? He said, Hamari halat ye hai, our condition is, agar hamara kaam ban jata hai, to muhabbat hoti hai. Aur kaam nahi banta, to adawat hoti hai. When things are going good for us, then we love Allah. And when things are not going good for us, then we don't have taluk with Allah. We have a nafrat for Allah. Na'udhu billah. Then we blame Allah for it. So what kind of people we are? When things are going good, then we want to have muhabbat. When things are not going so good, then we don't want to have muhabbat for Allah Ta'ala. We want to have adawat. He said, yeah, fir be adabi, they bol lete, we say whatever comes out from the tongue. So that become disrespectful, disgruntled. We lose our iman, because everything comes from Allah, good and bad. When good comes from Allah Ta'ala, we must make shukr. When bad comes from Allah, we need to make sabr. So we can't say anything, we just keep quiet. That's our aqidah. So he gives one waqia. He says, one person came there, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi in the Khanqah, in Thana Bhawan. Alhamdulillah, I've been there many occasions to the Khanqah, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi's Khanqah. Allahu Akbar, what a Khanqah also. So that, you know, the rooms there was like, one room is the size of a toilet. One room, size of a toilet. And that too, there's no cement on the floor. Sand. Inside the room. And you know which kind of ulama stayed there? Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Mawama Sirullah Khan, they were in the Khanqah. So when they came out from that Khanqah, they shook the world. One room the size of a toilet, staying inside. You know how we have these cubicles here of Mu'takifin? Like that, the size of the room Mawama Sirullah stayed in. Qari Tayyib Sahib, great, great ulama. So that they made went by Sheikh Shafari Tanwi for Islah. When they came out from there, then they shook the world. So I went there, Thana Bhawan. So Hazrat Shafari Tanwi, Ajib, they say, one person went to the Qabristan where Maulana Shafari Tanwi is buried. They say that whole Qabristan is full of Noor. So when he passed away, from his Shahadat finger, one light came out, Maulana Tanwi. He wrote more than 2,000 kitabs, Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi. He used to answer 80 fatawa every day. 80 fatawa every day besides whatever he used to write. He used to keep his pen here. So whatever thought comes, he used to write it down straight away. So, To understand the maqam of Mawlana Shafi'i Thani rahmatullah alayhi, you must study his Bayan al-Quran. And then you will see what level of a mufassir and great alim. So Mawlana Shafi'i Thani, one person came in his khanqah then. Now he done something wrong in the khanqah. Now the sheikh is gonna reprimand. But wahapar talk, they don't play around. So somebody does something wrong, then they reprimand straight away. And Baz Martaba, even from things that are not haram category, but maybe something that was not just inappropriate or something, uspar bhi talk lagate. So that person got very angry. So that people, don't take nonsense. Sahibat, you came here for Islah, so we're going to make Islah. That's our job, that's our responsibility. So we're going to tell him. So he told him, he wasn't happy. Because he took him like to the cleaners. So what happened? He packed up his things and he went away from the khanqah. This waqah is being narrated by Imam Sulla Khan, rahimahullah. So he packed up his things and he's leaving the khanqah. Now when he goes away, he writes a stiff letter to Mawlana Thani, strong worded letter to Mawlana Thani, rahmatullah, very strong letter, disgruntled and showing his displeasure with the sheikh. You see. So it so happened now, obviously you can't be bi'adab to the Ahlullah. It's wrong that. So there you keep quiet by. So it doesn't care, it doesn't matter who you are. You must just keep quiet and you must be able to tolerate. You know they say the sugar cane, you see the sugar cane, it has a sweet section to it. And then you have the knots. So to get to the sweet section, you must be able to challenge, handle the knots also. So with the sheikhs, if you'll want the nectar from the sugar cane, then the knots also, which is hard to bite on, that too you have to get used to that. You have to get through that. So if you're going to get a couple of shouting here and there, that comes with the territory. That's how Islah gets made. You see, and then certain mashayikh, they are jalali. So Mawlana Qamar Zawar Sahib was hearing his majlis. He says that my sheikh Shah Wasullah, wo daante the. He says, you made dua. So you should tell the fellows, you made dua. He said, I made dua. He said, what kind of dua you made? Never got accepted? He said, daante the. What kind of dua you made? Never got accepted your dua. So he says, what you was trying to tell him? You made dua. Why you never make dua from your heart? Then your dua would have been accepted. So he said, choti choti baat par the sheikh used to get angry. And on the other side, he went there by Mawlana Muhammad Ahmad Pratapgari rahmatullah alayhi. He said, wa to muhabbat hi muhabbat. Hazrat should never shout to anybody. So kabhi jalali hote hai, or kabhi jamali hote hai. Sometimes you get jalali, sometimes you get jamali. My Shaykh Hazrat Muhammad Sulla rahmatullah alayhi, he was jamali. He was the most beautiful person you could ever meet. Most kind, most beloved he was. Very beloved, show you so much of love, you think Hazrat loves me the most. Every person would feel like that. But when he came to Islah, Hazrat was a Thanwi. He made proper Islah. And you must remember, from the age of 21, he got Khilafat from Mawlana Shafi'i Thanwi. From the age of 21, Mawlana Masullah got Khilafat. And then in the lifetime of Mawlana Masullah rahmatullah alayhi, people's correspondence used to come. He used to check, he used to answer, and all those things that he used to do, that was all done by Hazrat and was being supervised, overseen by Mawlana Thanwi. While his sheikh was alive, he was doing it. Allahu Akbar. And then towards the latter part of his life, when Hazrat sent him to Jalalabad, then his murids, Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi, redirected his murids to Mawlana Masullah. In his hayat, in his lifetime, when he was still living. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he was Jamali, but in Islah he was not Jamali. That's why the Khulafa of Hazrat Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were, their Islah, he took them to Takmil properly. So that he made sure that they became Sahib and Nisbat before he gave them the Khilafat. You have to spend 15, 20, 30 years there. So that then only when you reach a certain maqam, then only. And Hazrat, one thing I found, that if a person had anger in him, then Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would never give that person Khilafat. He can be the greatest Allama of his time also. But if you got anger, Muhammad Sulla and anger, they shouldn't go together. So you shouldn't like people that have a very aggressive mizaj and they are very angry. He shouldn't like that. He liked people who are soft and timid. Muhammad Sulla rahmatullah alayhi. So Ajib, so now this person, now you wrote that letter to Mawlana, very harsh letter to Mawlana Thanwi. But you came for your Islah, yeah? He told you two words. Now you still want to go home and you want to write all these things. Why don't you just pack up and go away and keep quiet and say, Hazrat Sheikh, I got some taqaza, I can't make me maaf, I'm going. Khalas, we left. But he still went in to write the letter. Harsh words he used. So ajeeb baat yeh hui, that by making bare adabi of Maulana Thanwi, he started losing his eyesight. His eyes started getting taklif in his eyes. So now he realized that this was because of the nuhusat of what I've done. So I have to write now, apologize to Maashafari Thanwi. So then he picked up another letter. He wrote another letter apologizing for what he done. And then he told Hazrat, make dua for my eyes. So Hazrat said, okay, apology accepted. I make dua for your eyes. Then he wrote a letter back, Alhamdulillah, Allah has restored my eyesight. So Ahlulullah ke pass, you have to be very careful also. So you can't take chances there. Nevertheless, asal is ittiba. Maulana Masullah Khan said, asal is ittiba. Without churu wa chira, asal hai na ke izhari muhabbat. Just not izhari muhabbat, just to say I love you, that's not enough. Just saying I love you, that's not enough. So you have to make follow the laws of Allah Ta'ala. If we proclaim the love of Allah Ta'ala, then we have to follow the laws of Allah Ta'ala. So now, when he threw the stick, now obviously, Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, he's not asking Allah why, what's going to happen. Now he is a human at the end of the day. He has fear in his heart. So Allah Ta'ala consoles him. La takhaf. Throw the stick down. Alqi ma fi yaminik. You must throw what's in your hand. La takhaf. You mustn't fear. Allah Ta'ala is telling him. Telling Musa alayhi salatu was salam. Now Hazrat is stressing on this point that don't make chuon chira. Don't question Allah. If Allah says do something, never question. That's why he's following the commands of Allah. He's not questioning Allah. Musa alayhi salam. He's not questioning Allah Ta'ala at all. Allah gave the order. He's just submitting to it. He says, ab jo hai, log poochte hai. Maulana ye panch waqt ki namaz kaise? Why we read 5 times namaz, not 10 times namaz? Why only 5 times namaz? You see? Like that. So obviously, we know what happened there in Mi'raj with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He told your ummah not going to handle 50. So he kept on going up. It became 5. So one student asked me in a classroom, when I got a question, I said, ask. He said, I asked many ulama, they couldn't answer. I said, no, I'll try, inshallah. Allah will open the way. So he said, why some namazes we read sirri and some namazes we read jahri? Some namaz qirat is loud and some namaz qirat is soft. Till today I can't understand why it is like that. So Allah Ta'ala put it in my heart to explain to him, see, your jism, your body, it has a need. Your body has a need. For example, you get up in the morning. This I heard from my Ustad Maulana Inayatullah Sahab, Tawad Barakatum. He said, your body has a need. You need food in the morning. Now, what's the food in the morning? You have biryani? No. What do we have? We have get up for seri, we have oats, we have cereal. We have all those kinds of foods. That's the right food for that time. You know? You can't have a heavy biryani. Maybe some people are having now, those fellows are mustasna. So they're exclusion of the law. I know in India, they say that when it's Ramadan, the ladies have to get up 2 o'clock and they have to cook fresh kari kichri. They have to make fresh pot of kari kichri seri time. So they must have that. And they won't eat yesterday's one or the one from iftari. They have to have fresh kari kichri every day in the morning in the villages. Now those fellows are mustasna now. A day exclusion of the law. Now what food you'll have for breakfast? You'll have curry kichri for breakfast. No, we don't have curry kichri for breakfast. We have normal salad, we have toast, we have jam, we have butter, we have some. So that's what we'll have for breakfast, right? That's conducive. Then lunchtime, what happens? Do you have oats for lunch? No. Or what we have for lunch? We have a proper lunch. We have rice, we have salad, we have everything. We have a full, heavy meal. And then in the evening also, we have a good meal, Saraji. Some people, they have a heavy lunch and a light supper. And some people have a light lunch and a heavy supper. But that's the main time for your food because your body needs nutrition. So just like how your body needs nutrition and certain foods are conducive for certain time. So Allah knows that in the early morning, will jahri qirat be more beneficial or will sirri qirat be more beneficial? So Allah knows our ruh also needs food. So loud qirat fajr time, that's what our ruh needs. But during the day when there's so much noise and traffic and everything, then Allah says, now it's not the time for loud qirat, it's soft will be more beneficial for you. Same thing with asr time. And then in the evening again, just like how you need a heavy meal, then maghrib loud qirat and isha also loud qirat. So he said, Mufsab, you're the first person gave me a plausible answer. So Allah Ta'ala shukr, I told him. Allah's fazl. So Allah Ta'ala has created like this, yeah. So Musa alayhi salatu wa now, why asking Allah, why you created five times namaz? Why you created Ramzan fasting in a month? Why are you asking this question? Why? Why don't we just submit? As it says, why do we don't submit? And this question of wanting to logically understand all the laws of Allah Ta'ala, that's very dangerous game. That. But what happens if we can't understand the logic? Then what? Are we still going to submit? So when we get Western education, they teach you there that you must question everything. You mustn't just do everything, you must question. But your intellect has a certain limitation. And then when your brain can't function, then what's going to happen? You're going to start rejecting. And you won't believe it. I just read, in one of the Arab countries, there was one brother who made he by-hearted the entire Bukhari Sharif. He by-hearted the entire Bukhari Sharif. But today is a murtad. Out of the fold of Islam. Imagine a person, you by-heart the entire Bukhari. But the noor of Bukhari never go into his heart. It just was on his tongue. The noor. What happens? Your brain's, your brain's not functioning right, it's going to impact your aqidah. Your aqidah is going to get impacted. Then when you can't understand certain things, then you start rejecting it. Imagine you start, how much effort he must have made to this thing. Bukhari has how many thousands hadiths? 6,000 hadiths or something, plus minus 3,000, about 2,500. Sorry, without takrar. That's the amount of hadith there. Imagine how long it must have taken him to memorize. Today, he's a murtad. I even know his name also. See? That's why you have to go to the Ahlullah. Ilm talim in the tarzga is not enough. The nur of that ilm also has to come into the heart. Where we submit to Allah Ta'ala's ahkam and we don't question Allah Ta'ala. Whatever Allah Ta'ala says, by Allah, whatever you said. Khalas. We have submitted. So Allah is saying. And then, Hazrat says that talib-e ilm ke liye. Yes, for a student, for him to go into the details, that is necessary so that tomorrow, if there's any attacks against Islam, there's any khasam or anything, then we have authentic people who have the intellectual capacity and knowledge to be able to give the good answers to the people. So I satisfy them and things like that. So that's why for a student, it's okay. He can go and go into all the details. But for a person who doesn't need it, he must just submit quietly. He mustn't apply his mind too much. This is the laws of Allah. Allah, you said it, khalas. We submitted. Then he gives one waqiyah. Now, when he threw down alqu, he threw down that stick of his. What happened? Allah Ta'ala made it into a very big snake. So Fir'aun, when he saw all this, yeah, so he got all his jadugars together, all the magicians, and he said, we got a very big problem here. You saw what a big magician this is. So he never said, bring one. He said, bring all the magicians you can find in opposition to one man. You have Musa alayhi salam alone, and how many people on the other side, all the magicians on the other side. You see? So what happened? So they told Fir'aun that, tell us, if we are victorious, then what are we going to get? Are we going to get your closeness or not? قَالَ نَعَمْ إِنَّكُمْ لَمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. You're going to become close to me. You're going to be very close. So then what happened? They were very happy. So from this we can ascertain that asal is qurb, that the main thing is qurb. He says they were so happy because they're getting the qurb of Fir'aun. Imagine if a person attains the qurb of Allah. What is the qurb of Allah? Becoming close to Allah Ta'ala. Having the nisbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he gives a ajeeb waqiyah. He says, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam was sitting. And there were four sahaba. in his presence. So he told the Sahaba that there's a certain place, I want you all to go there, and you must reach to a certain place. So it was a day, Friday, when he gave the instruction. So three of the Sahaba stood up and they left. The fourth Sahabi thought to himself, you know, I'll get the iqtidayat of Rasulullah. Today is Friday. How much of fazilat in that? And I got a very fast horse. So after Jummah, let them go. I'll catch up with them. So he never leave to the place where Rasulullah sent them. So then Rasulullah performed, he gave the khutbah. He performed the namaz. Then he sees the Sahabi is still there. He asks him, what happened? He said, no, Hazrat, I thought I'll get the fadilat of reading Jummah behind you. And then I got a very fast horse, tez row, you know, I'll make it. I'll catch them up. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, As-sabiqoon, as-sabiqoon, ulaika al-muqarrabun. That those three, they went first. You can never attain the qurb that they have attained. You can't attain the qurb and closeness which they got to Allah Ta'ala, because when I gave the instruction, they just adhered to it. They never questioned it. They left straight away. Now you applied your mind and you done like this. So even if you try and catch them up, but you can never reach their maqam, because they are as-sabiqoon, as-sabiqoon, ulaika al-muqarrabun. They are the muqarrab bandas of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So therefore, at the end of the day, this was the mu'jiza of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at how he made tafweez when he threw his stick. That's why a Nabi, his two main qualities is idz. Idz means he shows his helplessness in front of Allah. That's a khas quality of every Nabi, that he shows his helplessness to Allah Ta'ala. And the second quality is tafweez. He hands himself over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the khas qualities of every Nabi. Sanded, he ajiz in front of Allah. Sanded, Allah, whatever you want, we are ready for that. Sanded, they put their lives at risk. They go to so much difficulties, challenges, what. They're totally helpless. The abdiyat Allah Ta'ala has given the Anbiya. And the second main quality Allah has given the Anbiya, tafweez. They handed themselves over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat says, that is why suluk is a very, very, very big portion of our shariat. Rectifying the batin, rectifying the heart. And once the heart is rectified, then our nafs also will be subjugated, and our akhlaq will also come right, and Allah will bless us with idz. So therefore, we have to make mehnat on this heart, and we have to rectify it. Kitna waqt hua? Kitna waqt hua? How much time has passed? About half an hour, 40 minutes. But inshallah, we will make iktifa on this, what I have said. Allah grant us all idz. So, and I will just conclude with one thing. I also read, Mufti Sahab posted it. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab, Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was speaking and he was mentioning that those brothers who have come for i'tikaf to the masjid, you are the ambassadors of the ummah. You are the ambassadors. Those that have sat for i'tikaf, you are the ambassadors of the ummah. Just like how when people go for hajj, then the people that have gone for hajj are ambassadors of the ummah. Salat. And when you go there, then what you go to do there? You go to talk to Allah. You go and humble yourself in front of Allah. You go there to beseech Allah, to beg from Allah for yourself and for the whole ummah. So that's what he said. Those that have gone into the masjid, Mubarak to you. You are the ambassadors of Allah. I have taken that responsibility to go in the court of Allah, in front of Allah, and to talk to Allah. Now that's the link between Musa alayhi salam's story, that Musa alayhi salam was talking to Allah. And inshallah al-Aziz, our mu'takifin on our behalf, they will seek forgiveness from themselves, for their families, and for their entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by talking to Allah in the middle of the night. By talking to Allah whole day and whole night, making the ibadah of Allah for 10 days. Those that have sat down for i'tikaf, it's guaranteed for them they are going to get the fazilat of Laylatul Qadr. Fazilat is guaranteed. So how fortunate. So therefore, my dear respected brothers, Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to attain the maximum benefit in these last 10 days. In the nights of the odd nights, we must apply ourselves a bit more, exert ourselves a bit more. We must make some tilawat of Quran. We must also make dua, read tahajjud salah, make some zikr also. So all different forms of ibadat, and rest an hour here and there. Then in the morning you can catch up after that to sleep. That's in the odd nights. Try and stay awake as much as possible. And in the even nights then you...